The Wise King. Now Solomon sat upon the throne of David his father, and the king was firmly established. With tender earnestness, David, before his death, entreated Solomon to be manly and noble, to show mercy and loving kindness to his subjects, and in all his dealing with the nations of the earth to honor and glorify the name of God. All this Solomon determined in his heart to do. Early in his reign, he called together all his counselors of state.
Counselors, you represent every phase of the kingdom. You are captains of thousands and hundreds. You are the judges of Israel. You are governors, chiefs of the fathers. You are called here to the capital to join me in a special dedication service to the Lord our God. We are going to consecrate ourselves fully to the task of serving our country and our God. Each of you bears a heavy part with me in the governing of Israel. We must seek the source of wisdom for guidance if we are to fulfill our destinies. I am inviting all of you to journey with me to the tabernacle at Gibeon, and there unite in making sure of our acceptance with God. We leave today.
Upon arriving at the tabernacle at Gibeon, Solomon and his counselors offered sacrifices unto God and earnestly sought the Lord in prayer. The young king longed for quickness of mind, for largeness of heart, for tenderness of spirit. That night, as Solomon slept upon his bed, the Lord appeared to him in a dream.
Solomon! Solomon!
Who are you? Who is speaking?
I am come from the throne of God in heaven to speak with you.
Yes, Lord?
Your prayers and your offerings have come up before God. What is your petition? Ask what I shall give you.
God has showed unto David, my father, a great mercy, and has performed for him this great kindness, in that he has given him a son to sit upon the throne, as I am this day. In wisdom, I am but a little child, knowing not how to go out or come in. And I am now the king of God's people. So many are they that they cannot be numbered. Give me, I pray thee, an understanding mind to judge God's people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this so great a people?
You ask not for a long life?
I desire only to be a just and wise king, so that God's people may have peaceful, fruitful lives.
Neither do you ask for riches?
For myself, no.
Nor for the lives of your enemies?
I wish only to serve God and his people.
Because you have not asked for yourself long life, neither for riches for yourself, nor for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for understanding to discern judgment, behold, God will do according to your wish. Lo, he will give you a wise and an understanding heart, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. Also, God shall give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you will walk in God's ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments, as your father David did, then God will lengthen your days.
Thank you, Lord. And Why, it was a dream. God has spoken to me in a dream.
Then Solomon returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king in the place of his father David.
Your Majesty, Several men, servants of the King of Tyre, desire an audience with you.
Very well, I will see them.
Solomon, great and wise king of all Israel, will see you. Enter and bow the knee.
Long live King Solomon, son of David.
You may arise and come forward.
O king, we be servants of Hiram, king of Tyre. We bring you greeting and salutations from our king.
As soon as word came to our master that David's son was established on the throne of David, he bade us, his servants, run quickly with a message of greeting and goodwill. Peace be unto you.
I am pleased indeed with the kindness of your king. May he live forever.
Thank you, your majesty.
My father, David, had great respect and admiration for your monarch. I accept his well wishes with deep gratitude. Furthermore, along with my personal greetings, I should like you to bear to him a message.
We are your humble servants, O king.
Say unto him, thus says King Solomon, greetings, Hiram, king of Tyre. You know that David, my father, could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the warfare with which his enemies surrounded him, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So I purpose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God. The Lord said to David, my father, your son, whom I will set upon your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. Now therefore say unto your king that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me, and my servants will join your servants, and I will pay you for your servants such wages as you set. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber.
When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said,
blessed be the Lord this day, who has given to David a wise son to be over this great people.
And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying,
I am ready to do all you desire in the matter of cedar and cypress timber. I will make it into rafts to go by sea to the place you direct. And in exchange, you shall meet my needs by providing food for my household.
In return, Solomon provided yearly for King Hiram's needs 124,000 bushels of wheat and more than 1 million gallons of olive oil. Olive oil was used in preparation of food, as ointment for treating sores, and as fuel for lamps. Although David had drawn up the plans for the temple and provided a great amount of gold, silver, and costly stones and other materials, much more was still needed to make up the temple structure.
Scribe?
Yes, your majesty.
I want you to issue the following orders to my prime minister regarding materials and laborers that are necessary to the construction of the temple.
Yes, your majesty.
Now take it down in writing. King Hiram of Tyre will need our assistance in getting the vast quantities of lumber transported to this place. Therefore, 30,000 men must be drafted to go to Lebanon. Now, they are to be sent in relays of 10,000 men, working in Lebanon for 1 month, then returning to be at their homes for a period of 2 months.
I have it down, your majesty.
In addition, I want to get together another force of 70,000 burden-bearers. Since the temple is to be built on Mount Moriah, much excavation and leveling will be necessary for preparing a building site.
Yes, sir.
Another unit of 80,000 men must be drafted at once to serve as hewers of stone to be quarried from the hill country. Great, costly stones for the foundation structure of the temple are needed.
80,000 quarry men. Yes, your majesty.
These stones are to be polished, shaped, and fitted so that they can be assembled at the temple site without the noise of hammer or any other tool, for the temple site is holy ground.
And so it was that every detail and specification for the construction of the temple was carefully laid out. As the building began to take shape, the word of the Lord again came to Solomon.
Concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and obey my ordinances and keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David, your father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel.
So Solomon built the house. He lined the walls of the temple with boards of cedar. Skilled craftsmen carved these cedar interiors with figures of angels, palm trees, and flowers. And then all was overlaid with gold. Finally, after 7 long years, the building was ready to receive the holy things which were in the tabernacle at Gibeon, and the sacred ark of the covenant which resided in the tent at Jerusalem, containing the tablets of stone, upon which were written, by the finger of God, the 10 commandments.
Elders, priests of the temple, rulers and people of Israel, for many years we have been looking forward to this day when the temple should be completed and the ark and other holy things could be moved to the place prepared for them. We are now ready to begin the solemn procession to the new temple. The priests will go before, bearing the ark. Let us reverently ascend the hill to the temple of our God.
With solemn joy, the great procession moves slowly toward the temple on Mount Moriah. When the priests reached the temple, the ark was laid to rest in the most holy place. The priests of music blew their trumpets. When the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. As the great dedication service came to an end, Solomon prayed,
O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens above, nor upon the earth beneath, who keepest loving faith with thy servants, who walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou didst promise him. Listen thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. Yea, hear thou in the heavens thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive.
As a young king, Solomon had desired wisdom and understanding above riches, honor, or long life, that he might wisely rule and judge his people. Because he did not wish anything for himself, God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men.
Scribe, bring forth the contestants in the next case.
You may come forward now. O king, these 2 women claim to be mothers of the same child.
He is my child.
No, he's not. He's mine.
He is not.
And keep quiet, you two, until you're asked to speak. Your Majesty, there seems to be a misunderstanding as to just whose son the child is. Now then, you may explain to His Majesty just what the problem is.
Your Majesty, my lord, This woman and I dwell in the same house. A short time ago, I had a son, and it came to pass that on the 3rd day, she too gave birth to a son. I was with her. There was no one else in the house at either birth, just she and I. And this woman's child died during the night, and she arose and took my son from me while I slept, and put her dead son in my arms instead. And when I awoke in the morning, behold, the child in my arms was dead. But when I arose and saw the child and studied the matter, I found out that it was not my son dead in my arms, but her son.
And what do you have to say about this?
She is wrong, sir. The living child is my son. The dead one is hers.
The living one is my son.
He's mine.
The dead one is yours.
That's enough. Your Majesty, that seems to sum up the problem as stated by both parties.
Thank you, scribe. Guard, hand me your sword. Thank you. Now, lay the child on the table there And scribe, you take this sword and divide the living child in two, and give half of the child to one woman and the other half to the other woman.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, just a minute. My lord, do not cut the child in half. Give her the living child. Do not slay it.
No, you are right, Your Majesty. The child shall be neither mine nor hers. Divide it.
No, no, oh lord,
scribe,
no.
Give the child to that woman, the one who does not want the child to die. It is her son. She is its mother.
And all Israel heard of the judgment with which King Solomon did judge. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him. And there came of all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom.
Your Majesty, Solomon, great and wise king of all Israel, we are servants of a king in a far-off country. We have come to learn of thy great wisdom and learning. Be it known unto you, Your Majesty, that our king has ever been a great admirer of King David, your father. And our king said unto us, go to Jerusalem and learn of the wisdom and learning of King Solomon, whether it be true or whether it be false. So, great and mighty King Solomon, we have...
And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom. And they brought presents, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules and coins every year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And Solomon made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and he built a fleet of ships to navigate the sea to carry on his commerce. Far to the south of Jerusalem, a very popular and powerful queen calls before her the court's counselors.
Long live the queen, illustrious and powerful queen of all Sheba in the land of Arabia. Long live the queen.
Long live the queen.
Who is the greatest monarch ever to rule over the places of men?
Thou art, O queen.
Long live the queen.
What god is more powerful than all other gods put together?
Our goddess of the moon, your majesty.
Long live the queen.
And the most beautiful building ever built?
The moon temple right here in Marib, O queen.
Long live the queen.
It has come to my attention that another temple is built that surpasses our moon temple. I hear it said that another monarch has gained world renown as the most powerful and wise ruler among men. Are these things true?
Oh, queen, these things are false. Yet the ruler of Israel at Jerusalem is gaining world renown.
Does he actually have implements of solid gold in his temple?
I, too, have heard of that, oh, queen. Yet it must be untrue.
What other things have you heard?
Oh, queen, live forever.
Long live the queen.
I have been told that silver is as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, but I do not believe what I hear. Chariots trimmed in gold, horsemen by the thousands, and soldiers unnumbered are supposed to roam the trails of Israel in droves. This I do not believe. Why, Pharaoh of Egypt, Hiram of Tyre...
Enough,
and...
enough!
Long live the queen!
I shall go to Jerusalem and behold this man's wisdom for myself. Chief wise man, you will accompany me. And you, high priest... You too, Minister of State. We'll leave in a fortnight. You may withdraw.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Long live the Queen.
Long live the Queen.
Is Her Majesty ready to camp for the night?
No, no. In another half hour or so. Then we shall make camp.
Is everything to your liking, O Queen?
Yes, Maltese. Maltese.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I wonder if Solomon, King Solomon, is half as handsome and manly as I've heard.
I do not know, Your Majesty.
He has hundreds of wives and female admirers.
Sometimes wealth and power and being a king are effective substitutes for manliness, Your Majesty.
Oh, yes, you're probably right.
We will be there tomorrow, and then the Queen will know for herself.
Yes.
Good night, Your Majesty.
Good night, Maltese.
And the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem, and with her was a great train with camels that bear spices
and very much gold and precious stones.
Jerusalem. Oh, it is a beautiful city.
Even the walls of the city are beautiful, Your Majesty.
Yes, even the walls.
And the Queen of Sheba was ushered into the presence of King Solomon.
May the King of Israel live forever.
Welcome to Israel, Your Majesty. I trust Her Majesty had a pleasant trip from Sheba.
Eagerness was my constant companion. Anticipation bore me on swift wings to this illustrious and renowned city of Solomon.
Oh, it is called the City of David, after my father.
Your father must have been very proud of you.
Well, let us talk of more immediate things. Her Majesty, for instance.
I have come all this distance to talk of you, Your Majesty. Long have we in Sheba heard of the wisdom and might and wealth of the young king of Israel.
And you have come to see for yourself if these words be true or false.
You are wise, O king. And from what I already observe, you must be very wealthy to have amassed all the things that I've seen. Yet I'm sure I've seen but a very small portion of your wealth.
My God, the God of creation, has greatly blessed me. Would you care to take a tour of the city?
The great King Solomon anticipates my desires.
Come, Queen of Sheba, I will personally escort you.
Oh, no, no, Your Majesty. Your time is too valuable. A servant will do very nicely.
I shall escort you, if I may.
I am honored. But first, O King, may I ask one question?
Ask anything. I shall keep nothing from you.
Your wisdom, your wealth, what are their sources? How did you acquire wealth, and how did you become so wise?
Of myself, I have no wealth at all. I am poor. As to wisdom, by myself, I am but a child, knowing not how to come in or go out. But the God of Israel, the God I serve, he has given me a goodly measure of wealth and wisdom by which to judge his people and lead them into the paths of righteousness.
Your God gave you wisdom and wealth?
Our God isn't like other gods, Your Majesty. He is living, powerful, and just and merciful. Any more questions?
Perhaps many, as we visit different places of your kingdom.
I shall be glad to answer them, Your Majesty.
Those shields, Your Majesty, they look like gold.
Oh, they are gold, Your Majesty, beaten gold.
So much gold?
There are 200 of these large shields. Each shield is made of 600 shekels of gold. I have also caused to be made 300 other shields of gold.
300 shields? Why, that's more gold than some nations have in their entire kingdom.
Indeed, the Lord God of Israel has blessed me.
These dishes are gold?
Pure gold, Your Majesty.
You have none of silver or wood?
All my dishes are gold, Your Majesty.
You use gold as most kings and lords use wood. These buildings, the 12 steps leading up to the massive door and the tapestries. Oh, it's all amazing and beautiful. Where do you get all these beautiful things? And so much gold.
Much of it is gifts. You yourself brought me gifts of spices and gold and precious stones. Many people from all parts of the earth come to visit me. They all bring presents of gold and silver, horses and mules, garments, richly embroidered cloth and armor. Once every 3 years, my navy returns bearing gold and silver, spices and ivory, and apes and peacocks.
Do not some nations pay you tributes?
A few, yes. But mostly I levy a tribute of bond service against the enemies of Israel. They are they which have builded my cities and houses and walls.
Your own countrymen, are they in servitude to the crown?
I have made no Israelite a bondsman. They are men of war, the princes, warriors, captains, overseers of chariots and horsemen. I have 550 Israelites doing nothing but ruling over the workmen.
You're very wise, Your Majesty.
God has been good to me.
And when the Queen of Sheba has seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat at his table, and the situation of all his servants, and the loyalty and attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, there was left no spirit of disbelief in her. And she said to Solomon,
It was a true report that I heard in my own land of the acts of thy wisdom and the extent of thy riches.
But you didn't believe it.
Not until I came and saw for myself. Actually, I did not hear the half. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame thereof. More than wealth and wisdom are yours, Your Majesty. Something intangible. Happiness. Happy are your men and your servants. Happy are all the people around you. That is most unusual.
I have yet to show you the greatest of all the appointments in my kingdom.
The temple of your God?
Yes.
I was wondering when you'd show that to me.
I have purposely waited until the last, because I wish to have you know and understand that of myself I am nothing. That the Lord God of heaven has given me all that I possess. He has given me riches, wisdom, and a happy heart.
The Lord God of heaven, your God, is he a respecter of persons?
You wish to know if he blesses only me?
Yes. May I, too, become a benefactor of the blessings of your God?
All who turn at his reproof shall be given knowledge and understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom to all who seek it and obey his will. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
But riches, gold, precious stones, mansions, all these things, does the Lord your God bestow them upon you? Will he give them to me also?
Wisdom is better than silver and gold. It is more precious than rubies. All the things that you could desire are not to be compared with wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your heart seek understanding.
You said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you actually fear your God? Is that the beginning of wisdom?
I love God. I do not fear him. The fear of the Lord means to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate, says the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. And if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
And the Queen of Sheba, having seen all the wonders and riches of Solomon's kingdom and the blessings of the God of Israel, returned to her own country, she and her servants.